now is a change time in residential architecture, residential buying and selling of properties. It's a huge shift. And I'm standing here outside of a renovation we're doing that evidences what I think is what people are doing more and more. People are not thinking about buying, selling, trading, moving up, buying, and you know, getting into the market and doing all that kind of stuff. What they're really thinking about is thinking about enhancing the value of their home in place, renovating in place. For a lot of people, they've maxed out the equity of their home in terms of somebody buying it and paying off their mortgage, but maybe they've got a little bubble in terms of the equity of the house and what they can borrow against it still, even with the tough scenario we have now of houses becoming valued less and less in the next year or two. So it's really an interesting thought when you think about the home you have now and what you don't like about it, how it could be changed, to put it into some kind of perspective. When I first got out of architecture school in the late 70s, it was in the middle of a little boom. Then, within a year or two of my coming out, the first bust happened. And that bust happened through the Carter years and basically maxed out when we had, think about it now, we think we have it bad now, there was 18% mortgage rate interest.
Wow.
18%. And actually, gasoline, when you did it on it, when you cross-referenced it for inflation, was more expensive than it is now. So it was a really terrible time, and people did a lot of renovating. In fact, the first book I ever wrote was called Adding On, and it was pitched not as a book. It was pitched to an architecture magazine saying, you know, you keep talking about new houses, but there are so few new houses being built in America today. And back then it was down to around 600,000 or 700,000 like it is today. And you realize that only 2 years ago it peaked out at 2 million new homes a year. That what ended up happening was that we really, as architects, had to recalibrate, refocus, and say, well, what could we do? Well, we really ended up thinking about existing homes and how they could be modified. And that ended up translating into a lot of different magazines. And in fact, the most popular magazine of Architectural Digest is the Before and After issue. And it is the most popular. And people really, you know, let's face it, there are 70 million existing homes in America. And at the peak, there were 2 million new ones every year. So there are obviously a lot of misfit homes, homes that were designed as prototypes, usually in the 20s, 30s, then, you know, 50s, 60s, sometimes 70s. And this home that we're standing in front of how embodies that. This home really is a 1950s Cape slash Ranch, Ranch Cape, Cape Ranch. It's like every other one. And in next week's segment, we're going to be talking about how that ranch was transformed. But I can tell you right now what really you should be thinking about, or your listeners, Bruce, what they should be thinking about when they're looking at their homes for renovation. They should think first how they use the home, not how it looks, how they use the home, and how they use the home is hurt by the home they've got. Second, they should think about their site, where the home actually is on their little piece of land, and how that home does or doesn't take advantage of the good parts, and how it really wants to maybe turn its back on the bad parts. And as you can hear in the background, we're standing on a busy street in Madison, Connecticut, a street that's got a school at one end of it, has a beach at one end of it. It's Neck Road in Madison. And that street has continuous and ongoing traffic. But the homeowners here, like many homeowners, wanted to make open space and realized that the only way they could do that was to face whatever they did to the rear of the property. So think about things like traffic noise, bad views. Think about things like if you like to garden. And another project we're going to visit in a couple weeks actually has got a pre-existing gardenscape where the owners built an addition because they had built the gardens. It's the reverse of what you would normally think, right? You normally think you build your house or renovate your house and then think about the outside, the gardens, the landscape. Well, no, sometimes the landscape is so wonderful and you care so much about it that the landscape will create the design for the house. So the bottom line is this. You can always renovate to increase value, but every year, Builder Magazine, which is really the house organ of what's called of something called the National Association of Home Builders, Builder Magazine does an analysis of the best values in renovations every year. And guess what? The only one that ever pays for itself in the first year is painting your house.
Wow.
That's it. All the others, every other one loses something. Adding a deck, you lose a tiny little bit, or maybe you break even. But if you added a family room onto your house, you're never going to get that back in the first year, even in a boom economy. Now, if you get a real pig in a poke, a really terrible property, One that really is undervalued. And in Connecticut, that often means old modernist houses that are falling apart. And we're going to be talking to Lee Whiteman about those in a few weeks. But if you're talking about buying an undervalued property and renovating it, realizing that it's never going to get back what you put into it in the first year or two. So you should never renovate for profit. You should renovate for what you love. But in closing, when we're thinking about renovation, what I really like your readers to think about is, what have I got and can I make it work where I am? And if I don't, what can I see around me that is now undervalued that maybe I could get at a bargain basement price because of this building bust? But cross-referencing that with what can I get for my now undervalued home? And what you should be looking for in the first part of that equation, the part that says what is undervalued, what is a bargain now, it comes down to ugly ducklings in great neighborhoods. If you get an ugly duckling in an ugly duckling neighborhood, you're never going to get the money out. But if you can find a home that is really beat, really dysfunctional, really bad, in a really nice neighborhood like this one on Neck Road in Madison, and you really think it's undervalued, well, think about it. Think about, and then grab a builder, grab an architect, grab a designer. Say, if I did X, Y, and Z, what really would be really kind of the cost of this? Then just think about it. Think about what you have, what you're going to go to. This is one of the few times where if you've got some kind of equity, you can actually leverage a large amount of happiness, control, but maybe even enhanced value, not next year, the year after, but in 5 years. This is the time when properties are beginning to sell out of desperation. And building lots will sell less, but the least value will be the ugly duckling house where you've got all the zoning approvals, maybe. You've got all the utilities, maybe the septic system. Everything is there. So a lot of things that are black boxes and unknowables with virgin building lots are known in a renovation. So think renovation if you hate what you have, both as a potential for renovation somewhere else or renovation of what you got. That is kind of the wave of the next couple years in residential construction.
Duo Dickinson is an architect, designer of the Barn of Fun, and contributing writer in home design for Money Magazine.